It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time.
Problem solved, right, Sean? All of a sudden, foregone conclusion as far as who's going to be added to this Astros rotation. We wondered what they were going to do, and now, within weeks of each other, we got reporting of, hey, two big-name pitchers. You might as well lock them in. First, it was Verlander from Chandler Rome. Now, John Morosi has said this could be the lockiest of locks. He joined Lauren Shahadi on MLB Network. Let's have John Morosi tell you who is likely the next big Astros acquisition.
Durable, very, very durable, wow. Right-handed pitcher. And there was a reason why at the deadline this year there was such interest from other clubs in acquiring him from San Diego. And I did some checking the last couple days to confirm that at the deadline in July, the team that was most interested in him, the Houston Astros. And when you think about the Astros and their depth chart right now, Lauren, with Framber Valdez now being a free agent, I'm sure we'll get into Framber as the week goes along, they have a significant need for starting pitching help now in their rotation via free agency. And this resume right here, Dylan Cease, you talked about the reliability, Lauren, and everything that he's done. Those are strong innings totals for Dylan Cease. He's such a talented pitcher. His ability to generate velocity, the quality of the secondary stuff. And you think, too, he is someone that, in the right environment, it's a tough place to pitch there in Houston, but when you consider that ballpark, I think his stuff would play very well there. So for the Astros, who we know are always trying to find ways to compete, they've had different pitchers be injured in recent years, but I think especially with Framber being a free agent, Dylan Cease to the Astros probably has as much of a chance of happening as any other free agent prediction out there.
All right, there it is. Problem solved. Verlander and Cease from two reporters we respect. The Astros appear to be front runners for both.
Boom.
There it is. Done and dusted. Nice job, Dana Brown.
Dude, I mean, we always, or at least I always complain about how long baseball offseason.
So this should happen in the next couple weeks, right? Both announced, both agreed to, we can move on.
It's like the NBA free agency. Like, okay, we have to wait so it doesn't look like tampering, but, you know, in a couple hours, we got this all locked in.
Nice.
All right, cool.
I'm thrilled because
it's like Rex Ryan waiting outside someone's house for the moratorium to end to get him to sign the contract.
You know, just get these done quickly, and then I guess I'll wait for you to eventually trade Christian Walker. I don't know. And then we'll be done by January. We can move on.
Gosh, that'd be nice. Be a nice change of pace.
There's tongue firmly planted in cheek when we're talking about this, because who knows when these moves will happen? But we have two names already that look like they're going to be Astros if the reporting is to be believed. Now, Dylan Cease didn't have a great year last year, but he does have one thing I will take. Last year was his fifth consecutive season starting 32 or more games.
Ooh.
Give me that.
Wow.
And to get Miller on the job to make sure he's more effective. That's what the Astros do. Just make sure his elbow stays intact. But 32 starts at a minimum the last five seasons.
This guy's a horse.
Give me that. That's what I'm looking for. The innings, you know, baseball's different than it was in the past. But innings, 168 last year, 189, 177. But whatever. He's going out there 32 times a season.
Yeah.
And
hey.
I love it.
Every fifth day, if you're giving me, what is that, like five to six innings, take that. I'll take that.
You and Diddy.
I don't like that.
Well, he did say take that.
Yeah, he also said that, but differently.
Understood.
I'm talking about Dylan Cease.
Understood. Yeah, of course.
Not what that guy was getting up to.
No one wants to know, unfortunately.
That's
an ugly situation.
In a different light.
It does, doesn't it? It paints everything that he might have said in a different light. So,
bad boy?
It's a lot of things, lots and lots of things. But as far as Dylan Cease is concerned, let's get this deal done today.
Yeah, why not?
What are we waiting on? Right? Dana Brown, pick it up. Let's have Dylan Cease locked in. I know you're putting together the welcome back to Houston ceremony for Justin Verlander, so I get why that can't be announced immediately. You have to get all that squared away.
City Hall has
to be involved. You got to make sure Ben Verlander has a seat at the dais. I understand you're working some things out, but once that happens, let's go. Once you can make this work around Ben Verlander's schedule, then we can make the announcement.
He has a vacation coming.
Baseball's over. The season's over. He's probably got a vacation.
Once
he's back from the Galapagos Islands or something, him, his brother, and all the other Verlanders, however many they are, I don't know. They can show up. Yeah, sure. I was trying to avoid mentioning her just because she's always mentioned. But she can be there too, of course. Yeah. And they can say, we love Houston. We always wanted to stay. The lies. And then we can move on. Come on. Let's go. What are we waiting on?
Yeah.
So those are your two frontline starters.
Cease, Verlander, Hunter Brown, Christian Javier.
Sure.
Lance McCullers / could be you. I don't know.
Could be anyone. Honestly, who knows? Alexander.
Yeah. Jason Alexander.
Sure. Colton Gordon.
Who's the other guy? Blue Ball.
Yeah. Blue Ball had some nice moments. Yeah. Who knows?
Probably going to need them all.
It feels likely. No matter what they do, they're going to probably need them all at some point. But I'm glad to know we're at least making moves, according to reporters.
Yeah, moving, shaking.
I just need some signing. Moving, shaking. Give me some signing. Give me some agreeing and then some signing.
Yeah.
I need
I know how baseball, the timeline works.
Uh-huh.
Can we get these done before December?
Look at you. Like, so naive.
I'm giving you 20 days.
Nah, come on. What are you talking about? When are the owners' meetings?
The owner? Oh, I don't know.
When are the winter meetings?
They're normally in December, I think.
All right, then. So what are you asking for? What are you talking about? Agents got to meet with people, got to figure out the market for their guys.
They have phones now.
The winter meetings are, December 8th through 11th in Orlando.
At least it's somewhere nice. That's good for all the agents and, Scott Boras. It's like, okay, sweet. Get to take my kids to Universal.
Yeah, is that what that's about? Why are they in Orlando? Of all places.
I think they just go somewhere warm.
Understood, but Orlando? unless it is about the kids, because it's vacation. I'm sure that helps. I mean, hey, you've been going through a long baseball season. Now y'all got to be down there, away from the family. Take them down to Orlando and hang out with Mickey or something. Go get some butter beer.
Yeah, while we
Harry Potter world.
Well, what are they hourly when it comes to negotiations? Like, why are they taking so long?
Hey, I don't know why they have to be in the same spot. Why can't they? You mentioned they have phones. They have Zoom.
Yeah.
Why do they have to be in one spot to do this? It's just
It's all a hustle. They just want a free vacation.
Of course.
That's all they want.
It's an old thing that doesn't need to be done anymore, but they still do it. Tradition.
Yeah. All these
face-to-face meetings.
All these other sports get all their deals done within the first week.
Summer League.
And then have to go on a vacation.
NBA likes to treat like, hey, trades might happen because Summer League and everyone's in the same spot.
But Josh Okogie signed during Summer League, all right? It was a big signing, but it was for the minimum. It's the last thing they did.
So I think you are being optimistic about having these done before December.
These guys are just like, it's done. Get it done.
I told you why the Verlander thing is going to take a little bit longer than you might think.
I know. Ben Verlander's taking pictures of turtles or whatever in the Galapagos Islands.
Giant turtles. Yeah. That majestic clear water. He's having a grand old time. He'll be back, though. Once he's back, they'll get it done. In fact, you can almost act like it's already done. Just the announcement hasn't been made yet.
This is better. I mean, we'll see about Cease. Cease, to me, it's like less done.
Yeah, it feels like they're going to have some real negotiations
going on. But it is different than previous years with like the Correa or the Bregman, where it's like just out there until January.
And it felt like,
actually, maybe like February.
And it felt like it was never going to happen. It's just the Astros names were attached because they used to be Astros.
Yeah. And it was just like likely enough where it's like, I don't know, maybe if he doesn't get any deals whatsoever, he can come back.
Maybe if their markets are so bad,
yeah,
he'll wind up in the Astro again.
Yeah. At least it's not that. At least these, again.
And they've already checked
Christmas?
In on.
Can we go before Christmas?
Okay.
All I want for Christmas is Dylan Cease on my favorite team. I want a Dylan Cease jersey under my tree.
Mostly
Christmas.
So you don't have to talk about it in the new year.
Yes, exactly.
We'll see. Hopefully the Astros grant you your wish. Are you going to sit on Dana Brown's lap and ask for it?
I won't sit on his lap. Well, I'll write a letter.
Okay. Oh, okay. Dear
Mr. Brown.
Yeah.
I'll write with my left
Dear
hand.
Dear so Santa it looks, Brown.
It looks worse.
Yeah, so you do look like an elementary school kid?
Yeah, so when he's reading, again, so it's not a 29-year-old sitting on his lap.
Yeah.
Just write it.
My name is Sean Mapes, and I'm a giant Astro fan. I'd really love Dylan Cease to be an Astro, but mostly because I have a job to do, and I don't want to talk about him in January.
Yeah, I don't want to do negotiation updates.
Yeah, I've done that for the last 2 years. It's not fun. Please grant me my wish. Santi Dana. Pena, we see you. We'll get to you when we come back. We'll also do our misery index. Hopefully, the Astros grant all our wishes and improve the team in a timely fashion.
It is. I am asking a lot. I'm like, get better, but also fast.
On your timeline, too. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to adhere to that. Pena, we'll adhere to your timeline, whatever you want to talk about when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
So Nico Harrison is getting fired, and a lot of people are attributing it to a Mavs fan who wore a Luka Doncic Lakers jersey who sat next to the owner last night. We'll talk about that. I'm not sure I believe everything I'm hearing about that conversation, but we'll get to that at some point. We'll also do our misery index, but let's get to Pena first. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Dale? Hey, so yesterday I was watching Dark Knight Rises, and I'm watching that scene where Bane's whooping Batman's ass. I'm like, damn, he's really piecing Batman up. And then I was also started thinking, I got a question for Dale. So my question for you, Dale, is who got their ass whooped worse, Batman versus Bane or Hulk when he was fighting Thanos? Thank you. Have a great day.
If we are not at the epitome of nerddom, I don't know where we are. Ha! Huh.
I thought he was going to go Superman. Superman also got his ass kicked.
Well, Batman. I say that because he got his back broke. Mm-hmm. Like, Christian Bale's Batman
got
his back broken.
Blown out.
But, well, that's a suit worn by Joe Burrow at the Met Gala. But Hulk went into a shell for a long time where he didn't want to be the Hulk anymore. Batman recovered. So Hulk was mentally beat down, not just physically. Batman, you know, got a beaten, but he recovered quicker than the Hulk did. I'm going to go because of the way the Hulk curled up into a ball.
Yeah, but is that more about mental fortitude and less about...
Well, I think it all comes together. I think the Hulk suffered less injuries than Batman did.
Yeah.
But he was mentally broken by the ass-kicking he took.
It was, okay. It was a worse loss.
Yes.
Because he didn't recover.
Yeah, and the Hulk didn't stop Thanos. Batman stopped Bane.
Yeah.
Batman came back.
Crawled out of the cave.
That's right. What did the Hulk do? He became Smart Hulk. Stayed that. Didn't want to...
Well, he actually, for this movie, he was just Mark Ruffalo for the rest.
Yeah, he didn't want to be Hulk anymore.
Tom Brandis.
After, yeah.
on the case.
Yeah, he wasn't even Tom Brandis
at the end of Task. He was Tom Brandes before the case started.
Yeah, with the Phillies Cup.
Yeah, where he was a drunk and was showing up at like colleges trying to recruit kids. That's the type of Hulk we got, or the type of Bruce Banner we got. Yeah. Now that I've broken this down, this nerdy question I've just broken down, I'm gonna go with the Hulk got his ass kicked worse.
I'm watching this. Yeah, I agree. Because like he's just getting like combos hit on him constantly. Yeah. Like I don't think he got clean hit.
Yeah, Batman fought, and Batman lost.
Yeah,
but eventually he won. The Hulk never got his get back on Thanos. That's a Thor's business.
I was gonna say, even in this fight that I'm watching currently, the scene from Avengers: Infinity War, I'm watching on YouTube right now. Yeah, Thor got a good lick in before Hulk did.
There are words to use for this time frame of the Hulk that I can't say on the air.
Whoa,
soft ass Hulk. I can say that though. All right, thank you for that nerdy tangent that we're allowed to go on. All right, let's get back to the business of sports. The CFP is tonight. We will see how things change from what happened over the weekend, where teams are ranked. But the misery index we will talk about right now. I think I'm going to throw the entire ACC on the list. Not because everyone lost, because that's impossible. Someone's got to win.
Yeah, half of them.
Half of them. I mean, that was the
less than half.
Less than half.
Because Duke lost.
They don't all play conference teams. Duke lost to UConn. Duke, one of the favorites to make the ACC title game, lost to UConn.
More than half of the ACC lost.
Yeah. Oh. True.
Okay. Yes. But the good teams especially lost.
Well, they probably proved they weren't good teams.
The higher ranked teams
lost. Yes. If you missed it, and I imagine you would have, maybe you decided because of tradition, you'd rather watch LSU Alabama than lock in on a Wake Forest trip to Charlottesville or a Cal, yes, ACC Cal, trip to Louisville. And you must say Louisville. That's how they like it to be said.
I'll say it however I want.
Well, you can after they take an L the way they did. Come on.
You let a 5'7" receiver get 15 passes against you.
In both instances,
Louisville,
two teams relatively highly ranked in the CFP poll got beat, and you can expect them in all likelihood to be out of the CFP poll. We'll see. But Louisville, the more talented of the two teams who lost at home. Now, they didn't have, I think, Isaac Brown. They're big time back. At home to Cal, they lose in overtime, 26-23, on fourth and goal. Cal goes, you know what? Whatever, we're going for it here. They isolate with the 5'7" receiver on the outside. He runs a little whip route, pretends like he's running a slant, plants his foot, breaks out. He's open, falls into the end zone, touchdown. Cal beats Louisville on what would have been the last play. You hear the refs like going, attention, this isn't the final play, because I guess you have to kick an extra point. But
I think in college you have to kick that extra point. In NFL, you don't.
They just kneeled or whatever they did to end the game. And then in Charlottesville, you had Wake Forest, who were the better team throughout the night. And then, of course, with Virginia losing their quarterback, it was a slog. At some point, Wake Forest got up, and Virginia drove down the field, last gasp, and ball got knocked down in the end zone, had really no chance of being caught. So Virginia goes down. Virginia was undefeated in conference play. Their one loss was to an ACC team, but because the ACC is so weird, they lost to NC State in a non-conference game. It's not the first time this has happened with ACC football. It won't be the last, where they just decide, hey, two Tobacco Road teams, you guys can play each other outside of conference because you may not face each other in conference, and God forbid that happens. So they did that. And now where do we stand? Or it'll probably be Georgia Tech, Miami, and is that it? Is there any? Does SMU sneak into the bottom half of the bottom?
Oh, for the
CFP rankings.
Oh,
do they?
I don't think so.
Even after what they did to, what's up, Trevor? Even after what they did to Boston College, they're not going to sneak in.
How many committee members do you think watched BC versus SMU?
Not many. How many people just watched it, period? Yeah.
Let's see. Let me pull up the last rankings and see if SMU can sneak
in. Were they in receiving votes after beating Miami last weekend?
Let's see. AP poll. Is this the right one. Oh, this is this week's.
They're not even in. Yeah, they have eight receiving votes.
Yeah, they received 8 votes.
And others receiving votes, they have 8 votes. So in this most recent poll. So they probably won't make it.
Yeah, I mean, they're a 3-loss team. And I don't think, I think, oh, Tennessee's the only 3-loss team in the rankings.
But they're SEC, so we know that means more.
It does it not?
Well, that's what I've been told. Maybe South Florida jumps back in the rankings. Washington got beat late. They were down at the bottom of the rankings, but they got beat by Wisconsin in an ugly football game. So I throw the ACC out there because it was an embarrassing weekend for them. They went into the weekend with, 4 teams in the CFP?
Yes, and it would be one thing if 5 teams.
5, Pittsburgh. Yeah, Pittsburgh's still there.
It would be one thing if, you know, if it was self-cannibalization, it was like, Virginia and Louisville
ranked
lost
team beats
to
ranked team.
Pitt, or you know, a team that is even close to being ranked, not Cal and Wake Forest.
You're listening to the bottom half
the
of your conference,
yeah.
So that they're ugly games, ugly results. So the ACC goes from lying to everyone and themselves and saying that they're just as good as everyone else to having clear examples of why no one should really take you seriously. And now it's on the backs of Georgia Tech not to screw it up down the stretch, and they're going to have to play Georgia. Of course, Miami, known for screwing it up down the stretch. In fact, they've already screwed it up in the middle of the season. We'll see if they can avoid it. It does open up what could be the ACC title game, where Duke, who is currently 5-4, is on track to play in that game if they went out. So, not a great weekend. I just throw the entire ACC on the list because that was
no objection.
That was an ugly Saturday night for them. Number 2, Iowa. Iowa plays ugly football. They dragged Oregon to their depths and scored a late touchdown to go ahead. And then Oregon, who had not done anything in the second half, the entire second half, and hell, they weren't great offensively the entire game. In the rain, in the bad weather, Dante Moore leads a drive. Less dramatic than the Francisco Mendoza touchdown throw. No one's saying that was Dante Moore's Heisman moment. He made one big-time throw to get Oregon in the field goal range, and that was enough. So Oregon avoids the upset. Iowa, who had dreams of inserting themselves into the CFP conversation, they were likely not going to make the Big Ten title game, and that probably would have been best for them. Just be a 2-loss team who doesn't make it, doesn't get beat by Indiana, who they played close earlier this year, or Ohio State. And you wind up as one of the teams, maybe along with USC and Michigan, and no matter what Oregon does the rest of the way, you have the head-to-head against them. Iowa probably lost their shot to be in the CFP, and they were seconds away from paving their way to having one of the most disgusting offensive teams in playoff football era make it. Although, remember Iowa almost made the playoff?
Yeah. In like 2015?
In the 14 playoff, but Michigan State in another ugly-ass Iowa game scored a winning touchdown. Yeah.
And then they had the worst.
Yeah, and then they got destroyed. The and then they got destroyed by Alabama, yes.
In was playoff that
a,
history.
Yeah, was that a – what was it, a Connor Cook game?
Yeah,
He was a quarterback, right? Yeah. So Iowa has been close before. They could not get it done. They had everything they wanted. Bad weather, Oregon.
Yeah. I think that's what makes them miserable. Is that it was like it was the Iowa blueprint.
Yeah, they had everything they wanted.
The only part that went wrong, honestly, was the first scoring play of the game was a safety against Iowa. If they were to win, it had to be a safety against
Oregon. Yeah.
That was the blueprint.
Iowa's not winning games where they give up 2 points.
No, those free 2 points. Those are they don't have that kind of wiggle room in these games.
No.
As we saw, they lost by one, right?
Yes. We went in talking about Iowa and their quarterback, Gronowski, throwing 4 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions.
Oh, yeah. Well, do we have an update? Is he?
He did throw 1 touchdown.
No interception?
No interception. So he's now, through 9 games, 5-4 touchdowns, interceptions.
9 total.
9
interceptions plus.
He also did run in. He did run in for what would have been the winning score. He did run that touchdown in. So, all in all,
his
12 carries for 25 yards and a touchdown.
12 carries for 25.
Yeah, Dante Moore only threw for 112 yards himself. He threw for less yards than Gronowski did.
Yeah,
that's how ugly that game was.
Yeah, I checked the box score. I think going into the fourth quarter, and the two quarterbacks combined for 25 pass attempts. In the first 3 quarters.
Like, Oregon had a good day run the ball. They had, ran for over 260 yards.
Red zone turnovers. Yeah. They'll get you.
It killed them. It killed them. It kept Iowa in it, and they almost got there. But instead, I'm sure they'll be playing in some bowl game in Tampa or something.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Outback Bowl.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure Iowa's on the way to playing in the Outback Bowl.
Something.
They do have – they can be a spoiler the rest of the way, at least for USC. They got USC in – well, this Saturday, so –
there'll be a crabs in a bucket game.
They got to go to L.A., so USC avoids the fate of Oregon and having to go win a game in Iowa City.
Thank God.
Yeah. Well, I don't
think I could do that back-to-back weeks. Never mind.
Like another ranked opponent drags to Iowa's depths and see if they can fall – come through.
I need
particularly a team like USC who we always cleanser. Feel like they can easily be suckered into a game like this.
Yeah, I need a palate cleanser.
Yeah, so hopefully USC can get through this one, and then Oregon is on the horizon, which may determine a playoff spot. We'll see how that goes. Michigan just floating along, not playing all that impressively, just waiting to shock Ohio State one more time. And Michigan has Northwestern on the road. Gonna be tough. Big noon kickoff at Maryland and Ohio State. So Michigan kind of been like they beat Purdue 21-16. So Michigan is one of those teams who they're better than last year, but once again, even if they win their next two, they're going to go into that Ohio State game not thought of as having a chance to win. But then we'll have to realize it's Ohio State, Michigan. And much worse, Michigan teams have beaten better Ohio State teams. Yeah. It happened last year.
I saw it with my own two eyes last season.
What was his name? Davis Warren? Was that the quarterback
exactly
in question?
Exactly his name.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Now it's set Ohio State up for a run to win the national title. They will always have that black mark.
I actually do wonder if them losing to Michigan did like just galvanize them off. Them.
Yeah. They got into a not really a fight, maybe pushing and shoving on the field with the Michigan players after they tried to plant the flag.
Because they're just kind of like sleepwalking through the year, being like pretty good, but not like thoroughly impressive.
And then Michigan just
and then they
embarrassed them. Michigan embarrassed them, not because it was a blowout, just because how the hell are you losing to this team? That was the embarrassing part of it. Yeah. Terrible Michigan team you lost to. So I imagine Michigan will find a way to beat these next two teams, and then they'll might be top 10 at the time just because other people will lose. They're currently 15. We'll move up a little bit in this after these rankings.
They'll pass one of USC, Iowa. They'll probably pass the two. I'm just looking at last week's playoff.
Yeah, so
rankings.
They were 21 going in. They're like 15 in the AP poll now, but we'll see what the CFP does.
UVA and Louisville are going to drop below them. Again, Iowa and is probably going to drop below them. They also play USC. USC could drop below them after this week. So, like, Washington's beneath them and will no longer be ranked.
Now, let me correct it. Michigan's currently, not that the AP matters, but they're 21 going into tonight. The AP ranked them at 18, so we'll see where they go.
They probably, they won't move up much, but so many teams are going to move beneath them that they'll kind of make their way up to probably 15 range.
Texas, now, it would all depend on who wins and loses. Texas plays Georgia. Like, if Georgia loses, then Georgia's not going to fall behind Michigan. But if Texas does and they're a three-loss team, they could, and depending on the result, how the game goes, they could very well fall behind Michigan. So Michigan will at least be top 15 if they keep winning and be right in line to secure a playoff spot if they can beat Ohio State. So they'll have plenty to play for as well. We'll move away from Iowa. I got to throw BYU. Yeah, just even talking about it's disgusting. BYU. People were paying attention to you. Like, look, let's see if BYU can compete, and maybe we can consider them seriously as a national title team or at least a playoff team. Texas Tech told us, no, you shouldn't. That game wasn't as close as the score indicated, and the score wasn't close. It was kind of – as soon as they muffed that punt, pretty much game over. And that was very early in the game, but BYU just looked like a team that's on maybe a tier or two below Texas Tech. Texas Tech has dudes everywhere, particularly on that defensive front. And, no, we got that call last week about Jacob Rodriguez potentially winning the Heisman. He did strike a Heisman pose. I think he forced another couple turnovers on Saturday.
Look,
man, learn the Butkus pose, whatever that is.
Hey, come on.
He's in line for that.
He didn't know Mendoza was going to do what Mendoza did or that Ty
Simpson
was going to look awesome.
He's a middle linebacker or he's an off-ball linebacker. He should know. Striking the Heisman pose ain't it for you.
But if he has the ball in his hand, that makes
Well, how many touchdowns did he score?
Oh, okay.
All right, then. Like, Travis Hunter, dual threat.
Score touchdowns.
And he scored touchdowns.
That's what the Texas Tech against TCU this week. Oh. Or no, wait, you don't play TCU. Who does Texas Tech play this week? Whoever you do, get a Rodriguez cat in there. Try to get him some touchdowns like the Texans. Try to get J.J. Watt some touchdowns.
Look how well, that worked out in the playoff game. UCF is their next game at home.
That's a good opportunity. Good opportunity to get some good tape out there. Get some good numbers.
Look, man, just stick with linebacker. Go win yourself a Buckus Award.
Stick to linebacker.
Wow. And you have to hope that Arvell Reese, people forget that he exists, honestly. I mean, he's not, I don't even know that he's winning the Butkus, but that's the one he has a chance to win. The Heisman stuff is fun, but you ain't even getting invited to New York. Stop it. Cut it out. Shut up and tackle people is what I'm saying.
Okay. Anyway, BYU, miserable.
Shut up and playing off. Shut up and keep playing off ball linebacker.
Anyway, Tech, congratulations.
I don't know if you've heard Jacob Rodriguez. This is a quarterback award, or you have to be the most unique player we've seen in 25 years. I don't know if you've heard, if you're not a quarterback. You know Devontae Smith won it, but no one wanted to get the Heisman to Mac Jones.
Yeah.
So, credit to him for being as productive as he is, but no to the Heisman. Yes, BYU. The question for BYU will be, now I've just tried to make Jacob Rodriguez miserable.
When
his team won. The question is, where does BYU go? Like, I don't know how many people really believe in them and they got a taste of them. Like, they're only a one-loss team. So how far does a BYU fall? They have the win over Utah. So that is their best win. But when we all got to look at them, they look like they should not be in the conversation. They'll probably wind up in the mid-teens.
I was going to say, I think they'll probably end up in the 13 range because they have a head-to-head against Utah. And then, so this week, they were undefeated going into the Tech game, and they're behind three SEC teams. There are one loss. Mm-hmm. They're behind four, but three one-loss SEC teams, even as an undefeated Big 12 team. So I would think that they fall behind Notre Dame, Texas, Oklahoma, but then you can't really fall behind Utah.
Yeah, Utah, their win is the Cincinnati win. That bolsters them. They've had a week off. I think, of course, being undefeated, the committee just felt like, okay, we got to keep them
someplace. But they didn't make them four.
No.
They're the fourth undefeated team. They didn't make them four.
So I think a loss will allow the committee to go, you know what? We can drop them behind some two-loss teams, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, especially SEC and Notre Dame, two-loss teams.
Yeah. And I don't know, and I do, well, I do know, they don't have anything on their schedule that's going to propel them. So I could see them continuing to fall as other two-loss teams add to their resume with wins. Because with TCU, Cincinnati, and UCF on the schedule, there's not a lot there. Their hope is they still make the Big 12 title game and then have another shot at Tech or Cincinnati, whoever it might be. And like we said, I don't want to see a number 47 playing quarterback in the playoff. I refuse. I refuse to sit through it.
An whatever.
Conscientious objector. I don't know about that. And you know what? With YouTube TV, I may not get to see the playoff. Who knows? I may not have the choice to object. Who knows? We'll see. Yeah. I did go through the process of getting my $20 credit. They sent me a link because I know a lot of people were complaining. Hey, if you're just going to take my money, why don't you just give it back to me? What do I have to do? They sent the link in my email. I clicked something twice and just say here it is.
Remarkably simple. I do agree that they could just give it back to you because they charge me without me having to click buttons.
True.
But it's also, guys, like, I don't know. It's not that hard.
I understand. Everyone's mad.
No time.
It's two clicks of a button. We're fine.
But YouTube TV customers, check your email. This is not an actual. I don't care what else you do on your laptop. I want to help you keep $20.
Yeah. Until we get that text from Todd. Hey. Now we don't care.
Another one every segment.
Yeah. Now we don't care what happens. And I'm just going to throw LSU as a whole on there because they thought they were rid of Brian Kelly.
As a staff record label.
Yeah. Brian Kelly, said, no, you're not rid of me. I'm not taking any buyout.
What?
And now they're in the middle of trying to say they fired him for cause because he wouldn't take a buyout. He just wants all his money. And I get it. Okay. We didn't win enough games. Fine. But unless you can dig up some scandal, give me my money. Now, Josh Pate will tell you that Brian Kelly was on a beach during very important recruiting moments. Maybe they consider that with cause. But until that's decided as with cause, if I'm Brian Kelly, I want all of it.
Yeah, not a dime back.
Yeah, why am I not agreeing to a buyout that's $25 to $20 million less than what you owe me? You didn't even really fire me yet because you're trying to get me to take a buyout.
Yeah, what the hell is this?
I'm good. Pay me my money.
He could walk back into the office.
I mean, they may have changed the passcode for him.
Yeah,
his key card is deactivated, but he is still an LSU employee, a Louisiana State University employee. I love to see Brian Kelly
teach a class.
I'm not effing leaving.
All right.
Until you give me all my money.
He's getting paid $50 million to teach, like, whatever, health. Like, he's a high school football coach.
Sports psychology. So, if you don't know that story, that's what's going on right now. They thought they were rid of him. He said, no, you're not.
I'm in the walls, baby.
I don't know if you've heard. I signed a contract, and I'm not taking a buyout. So, we'll see if LSU can make something up to get Brian Kelly fired with cause. Because I'm sure that's how it's going to try kind of go. Like, they're going to try to dig something up.
Yeah. I love it when that happens. When they're like, no, we had recruiting violations. Don't you understand?
That happened at Tennessee with Jeremy Pruitt. They snitched on themselves to get Jeremy Pruitt out of there.
Which makes, I mean, it's not great, but it makes, you know, I don't want to pay this guy $50 million. Sure, whatever. Take some scholarships. I don't care.
Brandon says he wants to nominate Wisconsin for Misery Index, even though they won. It was a very miserable game.
It was a terrible game.
But they won. So I don't know if they officially – I mean, I throw Washington on there for losing to that Wisconsin team.
Absolutely. Like, Washington, I'm sorry. Like, people were complaining that they weren't ranked, like, last week.
Yeah.
And then the committee ranked them. And then they went out and lose to Wisconsin. Good. Shut those people off. Oh, they lost close to Ohio State. Who cares? What are we talking about?
Look, that was your best win of the season for a while.
Yeah.
As a Texas fan.
But then guess what? You pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
And you beat Miss State and Vanderbilt.
And Oklahoma. Ever heard of them?
Yeah. I think Alabama's going to have something for Oklahoma this week after what happened last year.
Yeah. Sorry, Washington. I wasn't impressed by Colorado State, UC Davis, Washington State. Lost to Ohio State. Win 4-point win at Maryland. Texas football is strong.
A game where they had to come back and beat Maryland. Maryland had a big lead in that game.
Beat Rutgers and lose to Michigan. Beat Illinois. Although, Illinois?
Not as good as what fraud we thought they were, yeah. Well, don't even have to watch squarely on the fraud list.
Yeah, I know. And then lose to Wisconsin. Seems not that good. Every time they play a decent team, they lose.
Yeah, that's fine. Washington, Jet Fish, I'm sure you're looking for that Florida job anyway, but we'll see if they take you after losing to Wisconsin. And Luke Fickell, who they want out of there too. All right, we'll go to break with that. Thank you to our first, I think, Twitter suggestion of someone.
I like that. Tuesday, let's get those going.
You guys don't have to call in. You can always give us a nomination. Because if you had to sit through Wisconsin versus Washington, you're well within your rights to make a nomination.
Yeah. I had money on it while I was in LaBerge. Guess what I hated? Watching it.
But at least you had money on it. Did you win?
No.
Oh, you took Washington.
I took Washington. That's why I'm so mad at them.
Those stupid people convinced you they were good. And look what happened.
Well, no, it's Wisconsin's terrible. I thought they could beat them by a touchdown.
Yeah. It's not one of the good teams they lose to. They lost to an awful team. All right. We got one more segment here before we wrap it up. You are welcome to join us. 713-780-3776. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
So Nico Harrison is out. The Mavs fired him in a move that we knew would occur. I mean, it's no surprise. From the moment you trade Luka Doncic, the thought is you're just on a countdown to getting fired. It doesn't help that your big acquisition in the trade, got hurt the first game out. Anthony Davis was in the middle of a big game against the Rockets, got hurt, and it's been all downhill since that point. So I don't know if the impetus for the firing announcement today is that fan who sat next to Patrick Dumont, the owner. So if you missed it last night, the Mavericks in a back-and-forth game with the Bucks that they eventually lose. There's a fan in a Lakers gold Luka Doncic jersey sitting next to Dumont. Apparently this fan, during the October 22nd opener, flipped the owner off. That fan and Dumont sat next to each other for several minutes having a conversation, and somehow we know that the fan apologized to the owner for flipping him off. They spoke with the fan afterwards, or at least people in the vicinity heard, that Dumont took accountability for the Luka trade and said it was a mistake. And that's according to Shams Charania.
I do like that Patrick Dumont took accountability for the Luka trade and then 12 hours later fired the GM who made the Luka trade. I like that move as the owner, being like, I take full responsibility for it.
An owner has
Nico Harrison, you're fired.
Yeah, an owner is in on every trade. He's definitely has to give the go-ahead. He definitely has to give a go-ahead to trade Luka Doncic. So yes, he okayed it. There's some audio from around that time where he compared some of the legends of the game and how hard they worked, and their singular focus wasn't on being the best, and you shouldn't be part of the Mavs organization, which is one of the reasons used to trade Luka. At least that's how they justified it. Out of shape, not a guy who is as locked in on basketball as he should be, and the counter was always, yeah, didn't he just take you to the finals, and look how great he's been, even without being as locked in as you'd want. Of course, Luka this offseason has got in better shape. We will see if that lasts, or is that just, hey, I'm with my new girl, I gotta get my great body on, and then I'll eventually revert back to the slob I was before. We'll see. Nico's gone. Do I believe this was going to happen if not for that fan? Yeah. Does it happen if this interaction doesn't happen? I would hope so.
I think there's like
for Mavs fans' sake.
I think there's some reporting that it was like Nico Harrison's, like,
yeah,
obviously
on the verge,
on the hot seat.
Yeah. And it was another night where they chanted, fire Nico. Last night, the Mavs eventually go down by 3 to the Bucks. P.J. Washington's at the line for 3 free throws. I think he made the first, missed the second, and then the fire Nico chants rung out. And, of course, he misses the third on purpose, and they don't get the rebound, whatever, and they lose.
I like that they wait until he missed a free throw.
Well, yeah, now they thought the game was over. They're going to let P.J. cook hey.
It's not his fault.
And Mavs players, as you might imagine, have talked about, hey, it's a little rough playing home games because they're always under the assumption that we're going to hear those chants ring out while we're trying to win a game. I mean, they're not specifically directing them at us, but they might as well be, because anytime things go poorly, the fire Nico chants start. The Mavs, I think, had played 7 out of 10 games at home. They have not enjoyed their experience.
That's funny that it's 7 out of 10.
They or now started, 7 out of 11.
7 out of their first 11 games they've played at home, and that's like maybe a bad thing for this
they're not great on the road. They're 1-3, but 2-5 at home.
It's just that, like, any other team that starts with this many home games, they're they get
chance to get off to a good start.
Yeah, get off to a good start, playing at home, and this one, that it's like, hey, guys, can you not scream in anger every time we miss a shot?
Yeah, so the punctuation on the Nico Harrison era was a guy who he acquired that helped them get to a finals, missing the second free throw that led to the third free throw being missed on purpose and them losing. So that is, hey, look at that great acquisition I made to help Luka make a finals. Now that great acquisition is no help because Luka's no longer here.
Yeah, and he plays the same position as the number one pick in the draft.
That's why we put him at point guard, but that's more of a Jason Kidd thing than a Nico Harrison thing because Kyrie's unavailable. So that era is over. We will see what the Mavericks do. Patrick Dumont put out one of those letters where he's talking about committed to making the Mavs champions. He understands how the Luka trade affected everyone, and they are in lockstep to try to get get this thing back on track.
Well, good luck.
Good luck with all that.
good luck, man.
We will see what they do. They have Cooper Flagg. I guess that's a good start. We'll see if health becomes a thing they can count on with Kyrie and Anthony Davis. I kind of doubt the Anthony Davis thing. Let's get to La Salsa before we wrap it up. He has a TV show recommendation. What's up, La Salsa?
Hey, what's up, Deli Belly? How we doing?
Not my name.
What's up, Mapers? I've been watching Welcome to Derry, and it does not disappoint. I don't know if that's the show that we are. This show is currently repping, but I think it's pretty awesome. Hey, do you know if Drake really likes him young? Also, I would pay money to watch Lance get hit in the head with a strap-on. Laters.
I've seen Welcome to Derry. It's very funny. Catch up, La Salsa. But it is a very funny show, Irish show. What else did he ask about? I don't care if Drake likes what he likes. You can listen to a song and make a determination. As far as the last one, if you missed the end of the previous show, a woman who is in a same-sex relationship said she was going to hit people criticizing her with the implement that goes in a strap-on for her, for their criticizing, because they were very mean to her. And she said, anytime I see one of y'all, I'm going to plop you in the head with one of them. That's what he's referring to. Because I imagine not everyone's listening to every minute of every show. If you're wondering why he randomly talked about a sex object, there was a reference about 2 hours ago now. And scene. That's a good way to end this stupid show. We're done for the day. Rich Eisen is up next. I imagine there will be no talk of hitting.
I'd be surprised if there was.
Of hitting another ESPN personality. I hope someone calls in and goes, hey, Rich, I really wish Chris Canty would get hit in the head.
I don't think you'd make it past the screen no. on that one.
Well, he wouldn't acknowledge. He would get on the air and say that if Rich Eisen took calls.
Okay, so you go like, hey, I want to talk about Brian Daboll getting fired.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Best of luck. Don't do that, but best of luck if you try.
Yeah, I don't know that Rich Eisen
But don't
takes.
Do that.
I don't know if he even takes calls, honestly. All right, we're done. Since we're done for the day, what does that mean, Sean?
Hey, give me some of that salchicha.
That made an appearance earlier today as well. Thanks to Kenneth, our intern, who you can follow in a couple spots. But mostly you can follow him at UHCoug TV. That's the media thing he's running along with other UH students. They cover the Cougs. Check them out. I'll talk to you tomorrow.